Hey, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We hope you all had a great morning. Our hotel rocks at the end there, but we're still doing good. We have our joy. So why don't we stand up and praise the Lord this morning? Good morning. Some music going in the back.
iPod's still playing. Boost the bass a little bit more.
In a place where we can feel safe, Lord God, where we can worship you, Lord. And I just pray, Father, that you help us never take that for granted, Lord. Pick us up and to help us again. whatever may pass, whatever lies before me. I was just thinking, you know, we don't have any definites except the Lord's love. But when it comes to our life, there's nothing definite. You know, we could be pulling out on this road right when we leave, and then we could be with the Lord a few minutes later. We have no idea what's going to happen. We may find out today that we've lost a loved one. We may find out tomorrow that we've lost a job, you know. And I know it's easier said than done to say, Lord God, I'm going to trust you no matter what lies before me, Lord God. I'm going to try to have not that I'm happy joy, but trust, Lord God, that you are going to have your way in me, and you are going to mature me, and you're going to teach me. Father, I just pray that for all of us, Lord God, that if even if we have this amazing month ahead of us, everything goes smooth and great and beautiful, Lord God, that we can be thankful and praise you in that, Lord. But then when that time comes, Lord God, where there's disaster, Lord, or heartache, Father, even anger, Lord God, that we are able to lay that down and say, Lord God, I'm not happy. My heart's broken. I don't know what to do. But I do know that I've run into the world so many times, and they've given me nothing, that all I can do is have hope in you, Father. And I pray, Lord God, that you give us the strength to go through whatever lies before us. Help us to turn to you,
and you be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips.
Lord God, or while we're watching the kids, or while we're homeschooling, or helping our kids at night with homework, Lord God, or talking to a friend, Lord God, help us to ask you right away, Father, before I'm getting any opinion, before I'm trying to take this into my own hands, Lord God, help us to ask you and say, Father, how should I go about this? I know that me personally, I have a very controlling nature. And I don't know if any other women have that problem. I know I do. And when I feel that rising up in me, and I give into a lot, but when I feel that rise up, and we know, I'm like, Lord, please, I don't want to be that way. I want to be a good friend. I want to be a good wife and a good mom. Help me not have that controlling to take over me. Father, help me have the words that I'm supposed to speak for. Persecuted church, Lord. Father, we are blessed here, Lord God, and it's kind of sad that in a way we have to remind ourselves to be bold for you, Lord God, but help us remember those, Lord God, that are so bold for you, Lord God, and are being punished for it, Lord. I pray for those right now, Lord God, that, Father, you give them your joy and your peace, Lord God, and your strength, Lord. And speak to them, Father, and use them, Lord God. We lift them up right now as a body, as a family in Christ. Lord, we lift them up to you, Lord God. Give them strength. Attention all the time. And Father, this week, help us to ignore the world, even while we're doing the things that we need to do in the world, Lord God. Help us just feel like you are just right beside us with every single step that we take, Lord God.
Fade away. God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth, who makes wars to cease, who end to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Sanctuary.
I love it when folks are led to do what the Lord is putting it on their hearts to do. So I just love when people are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Thank you, brother. And, you know, when Joshua feels led to do another song, I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful when somebody, God puts a word on somebody's heart in the scripture, that they feel the freedom to share that, you know, and to share that with us. I feel so wonderful, like last week, just having somebody come up here and just pray at the altar, you know, just pray and be prayed over. I'm so thankful. Oh,
son of a bitch. Can you hear me now?
I guess I should be thankful in all situations.
Wake everybody up.
Well, let's jump right into Romans, shall we? Okay, well, let's go over a few good things. Big Bang Boom. Oh, you guys know Teach the Word. Teach the Word, verse by verse. You guys know all that. Sermons online. You know all that. HomeFellowshipChurch.com if you missed one. Hey, if you did miss last week's, just wanna. We've got four copies. If you missed, we got through. We're supposed to get through at least the chapter, and we got through maybe 2.5 verses. Okay, so it was really great. Do you want to say something?
We got through eight.
Yeah.
We got through eight verses.
I did.
Yeah, you did.
Well, does anybody want a copy? I think you only got. Okay, one back. Okay, one over here. Counselor? Okay. Good. Anybody else? Anybody else? Ghost? Okay, yeah. One more? You listen to it.
Better.
Okay. Also, we have a loaner library. If you guys are interested in, if you want to grow in the Lord, hopefully you should. You're here for a reason, and it's hopefully not to take up a seat. And so, we want to make sure that's available to you. Christian DVDs, CDs, things like that. Prayer meetings here, Sundays, if you want to pray. I came in and everybody was praying. I love that. I walked in, of course, I'm loud, go figure. And I said, hey, lovely Linda. She's like, shh. I heard it. <her. laughs> Also, hey, just so I don't forget, if you do us a favor for all the folks that are cleaning up, you know, when you guys drink your coffees or teas or that kind of stuff, when you pour that, would you please do us a favor and pour it, just a little housekeeping thing, would you pour it out into the sink before you throw it in the garbage? Because, you know, sometimes those bags have holes in them, and so it's not very fun for the cleanup crew to scrub carpets and do all that. So just empty your containers before you put them in the garbage. If you would do that, that'd be super. Is it men's? I think it's loud. I think I'm missing my little...
I'm working on it. I'm getting there.
Okay. A men's Bible study. Is there anything you want to say, Gary? Okay. We're going just for the summertime. It's for also for teens, and it's just how to be a man. And so we're going through that. And I think, who's teaching this week?
Nate.
Okay, Nate, you're teaching. Awesome. Do you know a topic yet? It's about God, right? The Bible?
Yeah. Bible is, exactly.
Okay.
It's having faith and trusting in God for your direction in your life.
Oh, good.
Okay, man. So come on out, Frisbee 5:30, dinner at 6, and then Bible study at 6:30. Also, whosoever's, we normally leave out at Men Can't Be for Christ. However, this one time, we are meeting at G.T. Bray. Is that correct? Okay, and we're going to have a kickball game.
Whoa.
Yes, the grown-ups. If you want to come in with the youth, if you want to join the grown-up team, we're going to have different teams, and we're playing, so we'd love to have you. So we're doing that.
Bring water.
As the older people kick the butts of the younger. And so... So anyway, so we'll be meeting out there. If you want more information, see Neely or Amanda Panda, and we'll give you that information. Okay. Also, work in the Word. Thank you so much again. We have at least 11 people doing stuff out here. It's amazing work. And thank you so much. Poor Sarah, trying to clean as we kept kicking her out of the room. Thank you so much. Also, Kingdom Living, is that right? Is that Diane's house? Okay, Diane, is it at your house? You have that look on your face like, I'm not sure if it's at my house. I didn't plan for it.
Well, I've been thinking about it. Chris has
So, well, I'll let you guys discuss, and I'll send it out later. You guys get back with me. Okay. Also, we have a five-day club. If you guys are all interested in VBS for the neighborhood, it's going to be put on by Child Evangelism Fellowship. The regional director, Sherry Brower, is going to be here at Home Fellowship Church from July 25th to the 29th, 10 a.m. to noon. It is free in Jesus' name. Bible lessons, games, fun activities. So if you want to volunteer, thank you. Send me that text wherever you are. Also, if you want to help give out flyers to the neighborhood, oh yeah, right there. Please let us know because we need to do that this week. Also, if you're interested at all, Hillsong, Carrie Job, House Fires is coming basically August 11th in Tampa. At 6:30, it's going to be outside. It's at the Mid-Florida Amphitheater. And so I think tickets are like $20 off the lawn. So if anybody's interested in that, call the Joy FM and they'll give you more information. Now, Lisa, can you come up here for a second? Where are you? Are you here? Good. Okay, so God is just a miracle-working God, and He has done so much. And, you know, God's called some folks to homeschool and praise the Lord. He's called some people to go to public school, praise the Lord, and you work in public school, praise the Lord. But God is calling us to start a Christian school, which honestly is just impossible.
Oh, amen.
Okay, so I'm just telling you, that, you know, in today's age, with all that's going on, it's getting crazy. And so God had put this on our hearts that He was going to start a Christian school, even gave us a name, I don't know, how many years ago?
12 years ago.
12 years ago, we knew. But then all of a sudden, it's like God pressed a button, click, and started downloading stuff and opening doors. And I can't even tell you, actually, it's going to be open like this year. It's a total impossibility. There's so many zoning things, like I can't even tell you how impossible. Like, you know, if God did like one amazing miracle to get this school started, okay, it would be incredible. But I can't even, like, I knew He was going to do it. But He did so many impossible miracles to get us to this point. I am literally floored. You know, just to give you a couple. I'm sorry, can I?
Okay.
Just to give you just like a couple. First off, we want a zone for a school. And they don't just do that, you know. So anyway, there's finances and zoning. And so when we first went in, they're like, wow, we're going to have hearings. It's going to cost like $10,000. You're going to have, you know, hearings for the community. This is going to take a year's process time. We're like, by the end of the conversation, they're like, well, there is, I think one of the ladies in there was a Christian. And so they started talking, well, you know, there is a way. But, you know, it required a lot of things. And so he said, okay. Well, the first thing we had to do was, our septic, okay, is zoned for kids, so now, I don't know, they expect to go to the bathroom like, continually, all day, I don't know, whatever. So we're on septic, so they said, it looks like, you know, there's no way you're going to have to go into the forest main, the zoning person said, and if you do that, that's going to cost like $50,000, and you'll have to have the hearings, so there's pretty much no way. Anyway, so God has this guy that installed their septic tank, his name's Gary, and he was man ordained by God, and I just have called him up and I said, you know what, can you give us help? The county just says there's no way, there's no hope. Can you just, and I tell you what, he said no problem. He came out and he said there's a possibility, and he said let me do some work. And I was like, okay, we had to have all this stuff done immediately. I mean, so he said let me come out there. He did this thick of paperwork. He took soil samples. I didn't even ask him to come out here. He just came out here. He had trucks. He dug up septic tanks. He added all this stuff. I mean, he had crews here working, doing this and that. And as we're doing here, as it's on a Thursday, as people are working, and I'm like, I said, I can't believe you're here. I can't believe. He's like, I'll have all this stuff done for you. Everything will be done and on his desk in the morning.
Praise God.
What? He's like, yes. Now, I didn't know this at the time. Okay, but he actually had to come back two or three other times, dig up, add more stuff. And you know what? He did all of it for free.
Wow.
He said, you know what?
He said today, he said, I'm a Christian, I'm in the work, and you know what? I just felt that I don't get a chance to do this, and I just want to bless you. I don't even know how many thousands of dollars he did. And how many. So even as we're out doing all this stuff, right, and we still have to get the fence up, you know, that's never going to happen. And so as we're out there, somebody goes who's working on it, I think it was Big Gun Billy, he goes, you know, we've been calling the fence people, we needed to get that up, and they said to us, we couldn't even get a hold of them. They wouldn't call us back. Okay? So I said, well, you know, we called many, many times. And as the plumbing guys here doing all this stuff for free, for the county, okay? And in fact, just to let you know, he got it in. Are you ready for this? It had to be in, everything had to be redone, this had to be, he got it in the morning of, like that morning, they were having the meeting, the zoning meeting with the big folks. And if it didn't happen then, it wouldn't happen. That morning, he got it done. So anyway, so we're talking about this. I said, well, we'll never get the fence installed, blah, blah, blah. And as we're talking about it, Big Gun Billy said, no, the fence guy is here. He's unloading all the stuff. I said, no, that's impossible. He hasn't even been calling us back. We've been calling for weeks. He's not even calling us. He goes, no, there's trucks out there. I said, those are all the septic stuff. It's a miracle. He's like, no, you don't understand. This is another miracle because I'm telling you he's out there. And I said, no, Billy, he's not. And I walked out there, and sure enough, hey, we got all this fence stuff. Where do you want it? And so, but that's not all. Okay. I'm sorry, we actually just stopped there. Okay. It's been one stop. Then we had to have, what was next? The health?
Yeah, the health.
Yeah,
the county was waiting for that to even start doing anything with zoning. And then
Oh wait! I'm sorry. Before all this, the fire department told us we could not have kids here
when we first put the portable.
When we first put the portable up. Yeah, but they said
just for Sunday school. That's
yes, just for Sunday. They said you just cannot do that, right? So that was the first miracle. The person came in here, CC, and they put it in writing. That we could. And so each one was like, okay, and then the septic was okay, and then the zoning was okay, and then they're like, well, if they don't do it, it can't happen. But go ahead, now the health is
good. Then it was just basically waiting for a health inspection, which, you know, can be really, really scary because you get a list this long, you know, and you don't know, it depends on, honestly, who comes out and the way they interpret what you're looking at. So, she came out and she was wonderful. She's been, I mean, just, you know what the amazing part was? Is you always hear how difficult it is to push any of these things through and you're always so scared about it. But what I saw was every person the Lord had before us, I saw a softening. Mm-hmm. Like a supernatural softening coming down upon that person as they spoke to us. They might start off as hard and just like, no, that can't happen and you need
absolutely.
This. But I saw a softening and that only comes from the Lord. So it was a constant reminder of keep going. I am going to push through. If I want this, I'm going to get it is like the way the Lord was like showing me. You know what I mean? No matter who I put in front of you, I will soften their hearts. You know?
And then even with the health, she first gave us this list. It was impossible. There was no way we could physically do it. And then she came out and she's like, you know what? Just do this and this. You guys are good to go.
It was all in the guidelines. It's just how you interpret
so,
the guidelines.
It was
really good.
It was amazing. So each one of those things led, and then the zoning had to be approved when everybody else was approved. And then the last thing was the fire marshal, the one that said we absolutely could not have any school or anything like that here, originally had to sign off. And he signed off on it. All before the deadline date. I can't even tell. And I even told Lisa, I said, honey, I know the county well, and I've dealt with them for many years. I used to be administrator of school. And I said, I'm just letting you know, I know God's going to do this, but each one is a complete impossibility. Yes. And God did. So he is doing a work here. I can't even tell you the miraculous things. Even getting the patio done. We got the patio done. No kidding. I think it was the evening before the health department came, and that was some of the stuff they were going to check out to make sure.
You can't have any construction going
right,
on.
Right, exactly.
At all. Everything has to be
so,
safe for the kiddos.
Anyway, so will you share for a minute about the school and the heart and whatever? Sorry, I can't talk.
Well, our main heart is discipleship. you know, everything we feel like the Lord's called us to do anywhere, and the people that the Lord's bringing to us, you know, all of our hearts is discipleship. We want to disciple the kids. You know, we want to have an environment, have an environment where they can come and they can learn in a safe environment, and they can learn to just basically look at even the things that they're learning from science and math and everything through, you know, God's eyes and through the Word and how that translates into our lives. The Lord put on my heart, now over the last 18 years, I've been in and out of different schools, working with different kinds of kiddos. I've taught different things. And, you know, in each place that I've been at, you know, and worked with different situations, I think the Lord just kind of just kept on showing me different things that if we ever did something, that's the way He would have us to do it. You know, I've worked at, you know, private schools, and I've worked at, you know, with different programs with special needs kiddos and just different things like that. And what kept on coming across is that a lot of these programs, they have just, they expect the kids to fit into their box that they have, you know? And what I feel like the Lord's having us do is design a program around the kiddos that the Lord sends to us, you know? Design each classroom, each year around those kiddos, you know, keeping in mind discipleship first, hearing the Word of God. And we've got some amazing curriculum. Some of the things that, you know, I've done homeschool too, and I have a lot of friends that are homeschool moms, and there's so many things that I envied looking at the way they did things. And, you know, the Lord has brought different people to us, like Kim and Pat. Kim used to run a co-op, huge co-op program, and she's just like a wealth of knowledge, and they've come alongside of us and just kind of gave us some more ideas and are praying with us, and just really great. And the Lord's bringing Tom and Gloria with all their knowledge. Tom used to run a Bible college, a distance learning Bible college, and did some classes on there. So the Lord just keeps bringing people, you know, with all different backgrounds to kind of design the school around what He wants to do here. And so we're just really, really excited. We're hoping to do K-12, and our class sizes is what makes kind of what we're doing a little impossible. You know, talk about shoestring budget, it's impossible when I look at it in numbers. But it's so cool. Just the other night, I said, Lord, I need some cabinets for my classroom, because we have, you know, we've worked at schools where we shared with the church their space, and you just have to make it work, and you have to be flexible, and you have to hide some stuff, you know, just because you have a lot of stuff when you have a school and you have a Sunday school running out of the same place. So I walk in my dad's garage, and there they are, two big white amazing cabinets.
Oh, praise God.
Beautiful. You know, came out of somebody's home just 2 days before, and I said, Dad, can I have those cabinets? He's like, sure. So, I mean, just even crazy things like that, little things that are just like the Lord saying, just keep going on providing. When I talk about the finances, it's because, honestly, our heart is to be able to let the kids come, as many kids that the Lord sends. We can only do 20 kids as we're set up right now with the septic tanks. That's what we get approval for. And we only have, like, depending on some people that are praying about it, 6 to 8 spots left. Okay, we do have some of the scholarships, some of that stuff that we all had to get together with scholarship stuff to be compliant, so we get things like McKay Scholarship. And there's scholarships for kids that you can receive through the government, which are big blessings, okay, for kids to be able to come. But we want to keep our classrooms so small, and we want to keep them 10-to-1 ratios, and sometimes 5-to-1 ratio, which is impossible unless you're, like, charging 10 to 20 grand a child to get what we need. So we're doing way below that. So we do have some needs. And if you guys feel led, we had some really awesome things already donated, like 7 laptops brand new. Just takes a big chunk off. Just the other day. And a lot of whiteboard and wireless printer and cabinets. So I have a wish list. You guys could check out your house. Maybe you have some stuff hanging around that you just want to donate, you know, because some of us have a lot of stuff just hanging there. So anyways, that will be there, but the real thing that we need is prayer. We need prayer that the Lord sends the right teachers. We need prayer that the Lord sends the right families. We need prayer just for wisdom and leadership, you know, space requirements, everything like that. We just need prayer. We're kind of off to a late start. Normally, when we're in a school, a lot of the stuff should have already been done by now. So we just need prayer that we just, you know, get the school year rolling. So thanks, guys, for listening. And
thank you.
to the 5-day club, please sign up. I've got to sign up in the back.
Did you want to hand those?
Yeah, I have these in the back. These are the wish lists. You can have them back.
Oh, yeah, questions?
I think we should pray right now.
Exactly.
Oh.
Can we have Tom and Kim and Pat and Gloria? Can you guys come up? If they're going to pray, you guys need to be prayed over too.
Yes.
Delina, Sue, when do you guys want to come pray? You guys said it was your suggestion to pray. And
that's
what is the cost for the
tuition?
Yeah.
Per student.
Yeah. Per student, it's $4,000
for the year.
Okay. We have a parent involvement scholarship, which brings it down to $2,500 a student, which where I say, you know, shoestring budget there. I mean, So we do have a way to help out people that can't get scholarships. They can come in and help out. And we do have a lot of homeschool moms that just, you know, jump at that fact that they could be with their kids during the day, too.
Yeah.
And just to let you know, some people are working, you know, even for free. Lisa wouldn't say it, but she's working the whole week just for free so that other people can be paid, so that the kids can be encouraged in the Lord. And so God's just amazing, and we just know He's in it. And so if somebody wants to come up and grab that mic from Lisa and pray over. That's wonderful. We just pray.
Erica and Nate are also part of it. And so be in prayer. Erica's over there with the kiddos, too.
Yeah. She encouraged us.
Lord God, we do thank you and praise you for this opportunity. We thank you for the opportunity to train our children in the way that they would go. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to do this in a free country. We're exercising our freedom by doing that, Lord God, and I thank you for the blessings that we have seen along the pathway, this journey, Lord Jesus. Father God, we continue to give you the honor and the glory and the praise for what has been done and for what will be done. We pray for safety. We pray for protection as the children play. We pray that their mind, their understanding will grow in wisdom and stature, Lord God. We do pray for favor with God and man, Lord Jesus. And we do thank you for all of the families that are represented in this body, whether they're associated with this school or not. We thank you for the parents that are represented here and for their desire to teach their children the ways of the Lord. We thank you and praise you for that.
Father, you tell us to come as children, Lord, as you've moved in this body so far, Lord, in this school so far, you've shown what happens when we don't work under our own power, but we do come as children and let our Heavenly Father take care of the details for us. And so, Father, I ask that would be a trademark of this school for as long as you want it to exist, Father, that we would always come as children. We would not become prideful. We would not become possessive. But that is your school, and they're your children as well, Lord. Father, we thank you in advance for what you're going to do through this school. We thank you that you're going to change the lives of these little children, Lord, and that your name will be glorified, Father. And we thank you in advance for all that you're going to do through it. In the name of our Savior Jesus.
Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart in my tribulation on your behalf, for they are your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen, guys. Praise the Lord.
Can I stand?
Yeah, whatever you want.
Yeah, stand if you want. Father, I just thank you that this church has been nothing but your hand on it from the very beginning. Nobody in this church is rich, and yet we have accomplished all this, and it's through you. So I ask you to strengthen the teachers. I ask you to strengthen the children, that they will accept what you are giving them. Because, Father, it just, it gives us, the rest of the congregation, it gives us hope that you are a God of answered prayers. We just love you so much, Father. Thank you.
And you guys can also pray for your... just pray for your pastor, too, as sometimes, you know God's going to do stuff, like you get it with this church, all of a sudden it's like, bam, 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 with the church, we have a property, we have a building, we have a, whoa! And it's a little overwhelming. And so you can pray for me as well. Okay, let's get to the word. Romans. Romans, chapter 5. Romans, chapter 5. Lord, I thank you. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, and we talked about that, how faith is important to us. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, and He earnestly rewards those who seek Him, which is exactly what He does. Who's into that? All right. We talked about... that we have peace with God. We talked about peace from God and peace with God. We talked about that, as we mentioned, the story about this Japanese soldier in 1972, also in the Philippines, there's one in Guam and one in the Philippines in 1975, how he was at war for 30 more years because he never heard that the peace treaty was signed. And Jesus Christ signed that peace treaty by the blood that he shed for you. That you were once enemies of Christ, now that there's been a peace treaty signed. And I think about all the years that these men fought, and had fought malaria, and fought people, and fought starvation, and fought heart, and they didn't need to, because the peace treaty had already been signed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Just like these guys. They could have experienced the economic boom of Japan and all this stuff. The peace treaty has been signed, yet so many people are still at war with Christ, and they don't want to know about the peace treaty, and they don't want to hear it, and they don't believe it. Like this guy. He heard it, but he thought it wasn't true. So Jesus has a peace treaty. He wants you to have peace with God, because if you don't know Him, and you're here today, if you don't know, not know about Him, if you don't know Him personally, you set yourself up as an enemy of God. You're at war with Him, and He wants to bring peace. Instead of saying, okay, mankind, you want to war with me, I'm going to war with you. He says, no, I want peace, and I'm going to sacrifice my Son to get it. Wow, that's your God. It says that now we have gained access, it says, through Jesus Christ. And I love that, because it's through Him. There's one way, one truth, and one life, and that's through Jesus. We gain access to Christ. And we talked about that. Prosagoge, that access, that being able to come in before the King. That's why we have boldness before the King. And the grace in now which we stand, that implies that permanence there. We can sit at His feet. We can come to Him anytime we want. And now we have rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And we talked about that hope, ellipsis. And then it says in verse 3, not only so, I don't think I got the verse 8, but anyway, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. We talked about that. That word is ellipsis. And if you remember what that is, the Latin word, for that is a big piece of wood with spikes on it, and it's to separate the wheat and the chaff. And you remember that? The wheat, if you've ever been over there in Israel or whatever, the wheat and the chaff grow up together, right? And you can't tell them apart as they're growing.
and the wheat's growing, the chaff's growing, and the chaff is like a wheat or whatever, and it separates, you know, but you can always end up telling the wheat too, because the wheat is going to bend down when it's full of fruit, when it's full of grain, and it bows down, and there's going to be a separating. And these trials, these sufferings, these tribulations, it's almost like a weeder who separates the wheat and the chaff. And so these trials will do two things for you. It's either going to show you, man, I'm not really in the faith. Or it's going to show you, God's going to make you stronger through it. And that's his goal. It says this. It says, we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that the suffering produces perseverance. So any trial that you're going through, now let me ask you a question. When it comes to trials or tribulations or sufferings, okay, is every suffering you get from God or what? No? What do you mean? What do you mean?
I cause my own suffering sometimes.
What?
I cause my own suffering sometimes.
Is that true? A lot of times we cause our own suffering. That's absolutely true. Yes.
Or
other suffering. Yeah.
A lot of times suffering is allowed by God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because it is for our learning and disciplining, or it's for our correction.
Yes.
Okay. And sometimes we're on a wrong path,
yes,
sinning.
Yes.
And He will allow suffering. Well, you could become sick as a result of sin in your life, and He will allow it. But if you turn to Him for it, He wants to correct you through it. So it can be a disciplining process by God,
sure,
allowed by God.
So if I understand, now it doesn't mean everybody who gets sick is in sin. No, of course not. Sometimes we bring our own trials into our life and suffering because of dumb decisions we make. Isn't it right? How many have made those dumb decisions? Raise your hand. Okay, so look, you're not alone. Okay? Sometimes suffering or these trials are brought in as a correction, as a discipline. Sometimes they're to strengthen us. You know, sometimes these things happen. They just happen, and God will work them to good. What the enemy meant for evil, God's going to work to good. But you have His promise. If you're a believer, you have His promise that He's working these things out in your life for your good and for His glory.
Yeah.
That's a promise. You know, and I'm going to say this, and it says here, this suffering, you know, this suffering produces perseverance. Now, I like that. Suffering produces perseverance. And I like that word produces. I don't remember what it is in the Greek, to be honest with you. But Lisa's father-in-law owns a metal fabrication plant. You know what that is?
Yes,
okay. not a plant. Thank you. Facility. Whatever. You guys know what I'm saying. Okay, so what they do is they bring in just chunks of iron, steel, right? And then what they do is they apply it. They have a thing called a water jet, which applies tons of pounds of pressure on that metal, and the metal is cut and it's formed. And sometimes they have welders, TIG welders, MIG welders. They've got plasma cutters, okay? And they put that metal under intense heat, and then they bend it, they mold it, they pound it, they cut it. And they make beautiful things of it. Sometimes they make incredible decorative art. I look at some stuff that they had, I think at Selby Library, this ornate stuff. It was beautiful. Sometimes they make stuff that's useful. I mean, gasoline tanks for motorcycles or things like that. The point is that the suffering, the trials, the tribulations in your life, if you will let God do what He's doing and not remove yourself from that pressure, if you let Him do that, He's going to produce something beautiful in your life. Just like that metal fab takes this dumb piece of iron, a sheet of iron, sheet of steel, but with pounding, metal, pressure, God's going to do something beautiful. So somebody can look at you and say, wow, I knew Hugh. What a mess. But now I see something beautiful. I see Christ living in him. They're going to look and say, wow, Rebecca, are you kidding? That's just like a piece of... No, I'm going to make something useful and beneficial to my kingdom. That's what he's doing in you if you will allow him to do that. Now, what we always want to do when we're in these trials, these tribulations, right, is run. Isn't that correct? But that's why we're supposed to stay under Philipsis, suffering, tribulation. It means oppressing or pressure. You know, just like, I think I mentioned this, I don't know. Zip through these real quick. Make room. We talked about that last week. A diamond is just a chunk of coal that's made good under pressure. You know, and it's going to produce in us perseverance. Okay, it's doing a work in us. Now listen, we're lazy. We don't want the work. We don't want the pressure. And so a lot of times, your main goal is you're thinking, how do I get out from under the pressure? How do I get out from under the philipsis? How do I get out from under the trial, right? But that's not what we should be doing. The first thing we should be doing, well, first, what did I do? Did I do something dumb here? You know, okay, then I get out. But sometimes God will allow these in our lives. And if it's one of those trials, then ask him, God, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to create in me? How are you trying to show through this trial or this cutting or this molding or this pressure that I'm beautiful, that somebody else can look at me and say, wow, look what Christ did in him. Look what Christ did through him. This is amazing. See, that's when God, people see God. When you have that hammering, when you see where you go through that trial, that's when people see, when you don't remove yourself from the pressure. Does that make sense? So this philipsis, you know, this trial, this tribulation, this suffering is what God uses in our life. And, you know, okay, you know that song we sang? Okay, I don't know who, I don't know why I think of this stuff, but I do. You know that one, okay, I can't sing, so just, we can edit this song, but you know that one that goes, your praise will ever be on my lips. You know what I mean? And everybody's singing that, and then you leave here, and somebody cuts you off, and you're like, ah! You know? Or you get home, and somebody's, you know, calling you, whatever. Listen, I don't know why I think of this, but your praise, Lord, is always in the lipsis. Okay, that which is a Greek word for suffering. Okay, your praise, Lord, is always in the lipsis, Lord. Always in the lipsis, Lord. That's when we should be praising him the most, because that's when God's glory will be seen in you. Does that make sense? That's when we need to be praising him the most, because you should be upset. You should be freaking out. You should be throwing stuff around. You should be angry. You should be panicked. You should be anxious. You should be this. But instead, what is it with you? You're trusting in the Lord. Why? What is it with you? So next time you're in this suffering, you're in this trial, why don't you ask God, what are you doing here? How can I glorify you? Can you make something beautiful in me through this, Lord? Or in this situation? Can you do that for me, Lord? Can you make something useful in this situation? Can you do that, Lord? And trust that he is working it. He's producing this in your life. That's what he's doing. Now, you might not be able to see it now. If you looked at that metal sheet, you see a dumb, blank piece of iron or steel. It's junky. But God sees the outcome of what I'm going to produce. He already has the design. The AutoCAD's already done to make that sheet the motorcycle. The cool, you know, whatever kind of motorcycle. George's Harley or whatever. You know, it's already done. He sees the finished product. You don't yet. You can trust him.
Let your praises ever be in Jesus. I don't know why I think that stuff. Okay.
You know, here's this. You know, we live in a culture that doesn't want to suffer. Even a lot of Christian churches, they don't want that. Suffering's not of the Lord. Well, really? Well, have you ever read the scriptures? Here's Hebrews 5:8. Even though Jesus was the Son of God, he learned obedience by what he what?
Suffered.
Interesting. Well, that was Jesus, you know. That's not us. Well, the disciples of Jesus seem to have the same thing. This is from Revelation 1:9, okay? This was written while he was exiled, after he was boiled in oil, but that's a... Anyway, it says, I, John, your brother and companion in suffering, Philipsis, and kingdom, and patient endurance, that's hupomone or hupomone, that are ours in Christ Jesus, was on the Isle of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. He's in exile, and he's writing this. So the disciples went through the same thing. But here's the one for you. Listen to this. Don't let somebody say, oh, Christians in suffer, I'm the king's kid. Listen, Philippians 1:29, think about this. God says, for it has been, he's speaking to you, okay? God says, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Now, I don't know about you, but when I say for it has been granted to you, like I'm giving you permission, I'm giving you this blessing, almost like the king, I'm granting you this territory. He's seeing it as a blessing. I'm granting this to you. If you receive a grant, you know what that is? A bunch of free, cool, amazing money and stuff. He is giving you this grant. He is granting you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. And then it says that suffering produces perseverance. So first, is perseverance really that important as a Christian? You know what? How many people say yes? Raise your hand. Okay, almost everybody, just raise their hand here. Can I tell you what I've seen over many years? Just being honest, I'm not attacking anyone. And sometimes in me too. More times than I'd like to admit, my wife can tell you. I see a lack of perseverance in God's people. I see a bunch of whiny little runners. And I can be the same thing apart from Christ, apart from reminding myself of his promises.
So, it's one of the few things we can give him that he hasn't given us first.
And he is producing that in us by these trials. Even that's for our benefit, right? Yes?
Well, he perseveres, you're able to know him, and that's what we're supposed to do in the first place. So if you didn't have a trial, we wouldn't learn to lean on him.
That's right. So, I mean, how many times have you not gone to a Bible study? You're not gone, well, things like that. Oh, I know I should be there, but I know I should read my word, but oh, I know I should do, but listen, we need to be the most persevering people on the planet. But maybe we're not because we're removing ourselves from the trials. You know what I'm saying? Listen, we just talked about why is it so important, but listen to this, guys. I when I look at Christians, I don't want to think, they're so flaky. You know?
Well, I just feel like the Lord wanted me to work today and nothing tomorrow.
Is that what he does? You know what I mean? Oh, I know God, I know he's totally called me to this Bible study. Totally called me. Oh, I can't come because, you know, I have a hangnail. I'm tired. It really? Okay. All the more, you should probably be there. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's at this church or some other church that God's called you to, God is telling you and he wants you to be a persevering Christian, whether you feel like it or not. Listen to this quote by Theodore Roosevelt. I love this. You know, it's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, like I do, because there is no effort and error without shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, and there's no greater cause than Jesus Christ, who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory or defeat. If you never persevere, you will never know victory. And if you see some Christians, and they've got this one sin in their life because they're not persevering. Listen, here's some quotes on perseverance. Abraham Lincoln said, "I'm a slow walker, but I never walk back." I like that. Vince Lombardi said, "Once you learn to quit, it becomes a habit." True?
Yes.
Thomas Edison said, "Many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up."
Yeah, that's a guy who tried 1,000 times with the light bulb.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
I would have been, you know what, in the flesh, I've been like, it didn't work first time. I'm a loser. Why am I even doing this? Shouldn't even be a scientist. You know what I'm saying? And Charles Spurgeon said, "By perseverance, the snail reads the ark." I love that. I love that. Just say it. James 1:4 says, "Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be complete and mature, not lacking anything." Perseverance. Hebrews 12:1-3 says, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with what?" Say, church.
Perseverance.
Yet. Okay, moving on. Okay. All right, the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on who?
Jesus.
That's right, the author and perfecter of the faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame. Who was that joy? Who was that
you,
joy?
You and me.
That's right. Just you and me, Gloria? Not everybody else?
Just you and me.
Okay, fantastic. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I grow weary and I lose heart. So too easily. God says, "No, dear, and I want you to man up as a Christian." Or women up, if that's a word. I don't know. But I want you to learn to persevere. And that suffering and trial is going to produce that in your life. I promise it. Promise.
Yeah, amen.
And then James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Because having stood the test, that person will receive." Not maybe, might receive it. We hope that he will. Will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. And if there's one thing you know about our Lord Jesus Christ, he does not break his promises.
Amen.
Even if you feel like maybe he will this time because, you know, it's me. But you know what? Hold on a second. Basically, here's my little cartoon illustration, okay? We rejoice in our tribulations, thalipsis, because the thalipsis produces hupomene, perseverance, and that produces character, and that gives hope, assurance, and that doesn't disappoint us. Here it is in James, okay? God's word in James, we won't spend too long here just because some of us have gone over it before, but he says in James chapter 1:2-4, "Consider it pure joy, Christian." If you're a Christian, God's talking to you now. "I want you to consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials many times." Not if you face trials, right?
Right.
Whenever you face them. What does that tell you?
You're going to face them.
A lot of them. And whenever you face trials, what does that tell you? Wait, what?
Not to run away.
Not to run away. When you face those trials, there's a time in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 when the enemy was coming in, surrounding God's people, and they cried out to the Lord, "We don't know what to do, this vast army ahead of us." And God said, "I want you to go out there, suit up, and face them, and I'll take care of them." God is saying the same thing to you. Quit running away. Get out there, face them head on, knowing that the Lord is with you. That's what he's saying. Face those trials. Don't get out from under them. Ask what God wants you to do in and through you as you're going through it. And it says you're going to face trials of one or two kinds.
Many. And all kinds.
Many kinds. Oh, it seems like they never stop coming. You know why it seems that way? Because
they don't.
Because they don't stop coming. So what are you going to allow God to do in your heart? You can either give in to despair, you can get bitter, you can take your ball and go home, or you can allow the Lord Jesus Christ to work it out of you. Because look at verse 3 in James chapter 1. It says, because you
know.
If I remember that word in Greek, it's, I think that's gnosko, which means like an intimate knowledge. You know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. That same word, upamene. Okay? And look at this. Perseverance, let perseverance finish its work. And here's the reason why you want to let that perseverance finish its work. So that you may be mature and complete. I wonder if this is the right thing or if I'm even going to turn this thing off or... Okay, whatever. Can't figure out the laser pointer. Anyway, that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. This is why he wants to teach you to persevere. We have a lot of immature, thumb-sucking Christians, right? Because they're not willing to persevere in it and through it. Oh, I'm going to wait for that. All right, back to the text. Elijah, you should lay that for me, please. Thanks. Back to Romans 5. That hope, that assurance will not disappoint you. We serve the God of hope. Can somebody just really quickly read for me Romans chapter 15? I think it's verse 4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. There's another verse as you're looking that up that says, you know, if we have hope just in this world as a Christian, we are to be pitied above all people. If this is all you got, Christian, are you kidding me? But God says, no, I'm giving you that hope. That word in Greek, you remember, is elpis, and that means an assuredness, a confident expectancy. And so what is Romans, hopefully it's the right one, what does Romans 15:4 say? Can you read that for me, Gary? Or Billy, you got to pick up?
For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope.
Yes, amen. Everything was written down so that we might have hope. I think there's actually another one in Romans 15. I'm going to take a quick look. You guys can just talk amongst yourself for a quick second. It says, Romans 15:13. Would you read that one, Billy?
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's right. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. You know why you're maybe not overflowing with hope and peace? With the Holy Spirit? Because what?
Trusting
in Him. What is the area in your life that you're not trusting Him in? You so want to be overflowed with, right? He wants you to overflow with hope and the power of the Holy Spirit, but that only comes as you trust in Him. In Romans 5, it says this. Romans 5. This hope does not disappoint us because God poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Listen, God has poured out His love. He's shown you His love. Okay? Listen to this. You already saw the slide, so I probably won't make that big deal. Elijah, can you flip that? But I do this thing with my kids, especially when they're really little, and maybe you did it too. You know, next year. You know, how much do I love you? Do you remember that? I don't know if you ever do that, but how much do you love? This much? No. Yes. And then you try to stretch your arms, you know it's going out of the socket. You know, it's like this much, you know, behind your back. And I think of that when you're in a tough situation, you stop thinking that God doesn't love you. And you know how I know that sometimes when you're in a tough situation, you think that God doesn't love you? Because you know what? Sometimes when I'm in a tough situation, I think God doesn't love me. I think I'm the black sheep of the family. You know what I mean? I'm sure you never do. You just are perfectly, if you are good. But I always think, well, it must be me. I know he loves Pat. And then there's Amy, of course. I love her. And then everybody loves Michael. And obviously God loves him. Then there's me. I know he's always ticked at me. No, he loves me. And when you think of his love, always remember at the backdrop of the cross, He showed you that he loves you. He loves you this much. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, died for your sins so that you had the chance to come to him. So if you wanted to turn from your sin and come to him, he's ready to accept you. To me, he's just saying, I love you. Come into my arms. Stop running away from me. I love you this much. Can you see this? I don't know if you can see it.
Yeah.
By his stripes, you were healed. You know what it says on there? Do you notice? Love you.
I love you.
I love you. He did this for you. It says in the next verse, I think, if I remember correctly, either the next one or verse soon. Let me go. Verse 6 says, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Can I tell you something? Christ didn't die for like the really cool people. Remember in high school? That you're always like, oh yeah, of course, you know, he's like the captain of the football team or the cheerleader girl or the perfect little student. He came and died for the what? Sinners, for ungodly people. That's you, Pinky. That's you, Sue. Do you know in this room? I'm just saying, he died for ungodly people. Sometimes we think, well, I just want to save this person because they're so close to being righteous with God. No, he wants to. He died for the drug user, which some of you were, the murderers, which some of you were, the abusers, as some of you were, the sexually immoral, that some of you were, the homosexual, the lesbian, which some of you were. These are the things, the thief, the liar, which some of you were. You used to walk in these ways. No more! No more. He says, I'm dying for you. And whoever would believe in me wouldn't perish but have eternal life. We read this earlier. But I'm convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, the present nor the future, nor any other power, neither height nor depth nor anything in creation can separate us, you, me, from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Romans 8:38. So stop doubting. See it as on the backdrop of the cross. He's already showed you. Look, it says this. It says, very rarely, verse 7, will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might dare die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. It doesn't say he demonstrated. He demonstrates it. He's doing it now. He knows your sin, past, present, and future. He demonstrates it. Right now, presently, he's demonstrating it. That's amazing to me. I'm going to wait on that one. And then it says this. Okay, now remember this. It says this. It says in verse 9, since we have now been justified by his blood, right? It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Listen, God's not at war with you anymore. The peace treaty's been signed. Now, I'm not saying he's not going to discipline you. If you start going wrong, what father or mom isn't going to discipline their kids? If you don't discipline your kids, that just shows you don't love them. And that's not my words. That's what the Bible says. It says in Hebrews 12 that he disciplines everyone he treats himself. So now sometimes you're going to be corrected. Sometimes you'll be disciplined. Sometimes he's even going to rebuke you. But it's done. Listen to me. Here's the difference. It's not done because the wrath is coming. You know what I mean? Or it's just to punish. It's corrective in nature. He wants to correct those things in you. Does that make... There's punishment involved sometimes, right? Or discipline. But it's to correct. It's done in love. The wrath thing is gone. Can we read two quick scriptures real quick? I know we spent a lot of time earlier, but you know, go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Because some of you just think God's always mad at you as a Christian. And you know, once you're saved, you're no longer an object of his wrath. That's very different from just discipline or correction. The wrath of God is coming against those who reject him. You do not want to be in that crowd. And if you're not, you're not an object of that wrath. It's done. First Thessalonians, somebody read verse 9 to 10. Yes. Chapter 1. Pat, since you're there, obviously. 9 to 10, and then I'll have somebody else read chapter 5, 8 to 10. But if you would read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 9 through 10, I'd really appreciate it. Because depending on your theology...
Everyone is talking about how you welcomed us and how you turned away from idols to serve the true and living God. They also tell how you are waiting for his son Jesus to come from heaven. God raised him from death, and on the day of judgment, Jesus will save us from God's anger.
Yeah, for God's wrath. What is 1 Thessalonians? Somebody else read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8 through 10. Here, since you're right there, make it easy for Nate, so you can have to run around the mic.
But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and a hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing.
Yes. In other words, man, if God died for you while you were still a sinner, while you were still ungodly, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath? You know what I mean? As we're saved. And so listen, back in Romans, verse 10, it says, for if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. I wonder if I still have this. You know, you guys are, I'm sure, are, I don't know if you saw pictures or, you know, but some pretty terrible stuff happened in France.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys are aware of it, but it's pretty terrible. Now, this is becoming more commonplace. What happened was, for those who don't know, a bunch of Muslim terrorists, but a Muslim terrorist in an ice cream truck said that he was during a parade, said he was going to sell ice cream to the children, and then went and mowed down... Gone out the window and mowed down 84 people, I think. Killed them, men, women, children, babies, whatever. It's pretty terrible. And that, when I heard that, I was reminded of, you know, a story of another attack in India, in Mumbai, in 2008. Now we're hearing this more common, but a couple of years ago, unless you were really paying attention to the news, you didn't hear it as much. But this was a big attack in 2008 in India, Mumbai attacks. There were a series of attacks that took place in November of 2008. There were 10 members of a Muslim militant organization based in Pakistan, and they carried out a series of 12 coordinated shootings and bombing attacks that lasted 4 days in the city of Mumbai against civilian targets. The attacks began on Wednesday, November 26th, and lasted until Saturday, 29th, 2008, they killing at least 164 people and badly wounding or maiming another 300 people. They attacked places like Leopold Cafe, the Kama Hospital, St. Xavier's College, the Metro Cinema, a Jewish community center, just to name a few. And on November 26, 2008, a gang of terrorists stormed the Taj Mahal Hotel in Mumbai, India. And after the carnage had left hundreds dead or wounded, I think it was a BBC interviewer interviewed a guest who had been at that hotel for dinner that night. And the guest described how he and his friends were eating dinner when they heard massive gunshots. And someone grabbed him, and they pulled him under the table. And the assassins came through the hotel and the restaurant and basically killed everyone they could see. that shot them to death, every single one, without mercy. And so as the assassins came into the restaurant, they did the same thing, shooting at will and killing everybody, until everyone, or so they thought, had been killed. But this one man had not been killed. He was the lone survivor. And I don't know, I can't remember if he said it, or if the interview said it, or whatever, but it was a miracle that this man didn't get killed by these assassins. And so when the interview asked the guests, how is it that he lived, when everyone else at the table had been killed, he replied, I suppose because I was covered in someone else's blood, and they took me for dead. Death passed over him because he was covered by the blood of another. And from Old Testament to now, that's exactly what Jesus has done for you. The wages of sin is death. The enemy has come to kill you, to destroy you. That's what he wants to do. He wants to assassinate you. He wants to assassinate your kids. He wants to kill your family. He wants to kill your hope. He wants to kill your desire to serve him. He wants to shoot, kill, maim. That's what he's all about. But we too are covered by the blood of another, those who have chose to receive him. You are covered by the blood of the Lamb, because without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. And so, just like that man was saved because he was covered by the blood of another, we who have accepted and received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it's the same thing. It's a perfect metaphor for God's gift through Jesus Christ to each one of us, because he paid the penalty for our sins, because we're covered in the blood of his sacrifice, that we may have eternal life. Listen, God's word says in Galatians 4:6, when you become a Christian, it says, because you are sons or daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. He pours out that love into your heart. He pours out his love for you into your heart. The blood of Jesus Christ covers you. So death has lost its sting. The enemy has no control over you unless you let him have control over you. It's been done. He's no longer angry with you. He loves you. He demonstrates that. He loves you this much. This much. But it also says this in John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Listen, Jesus has done this, but unless you receive that blood, unless you receive that covering personally, unless you receive the blood of Jesus Christ, you're still at war with him. You're not adopted in his family. But if you'll sign over that peace treaty and you'll say, I want peace with you, Lord. I don't want to fight against you anymore. I don't want to rebel against you anymore. I want to follow you. I want to seek you and follow you all the days of my life, that I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what I want. And once you have that, and once you say, Jesus, I want that. I know I'm a sinner. You died for ungodly people like me, like Anthony, like Flo. You died for me. You covered me with your blood. Not only did you cover me in your death, but you covered me in your life. You lived a perfect life. So that when God looks upon me, he doesn't even see me. He sees Christ's righteousness.
Because if he did, he wouldn't be here.
That's right.
That's right.
The wrath is still coming, but if you haven't received him today, now is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Would you pray with me right now? And would you thank him? And listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ, I'm not asking you to join our church or, you know, whatever, I'm asking you to give your heart and life over to Jesus Christ. He's the only way you can be saved. He's the only blood that can cleanse you from your sin. He's the only one that can give you life. Jesus said, I've come, and the enemy has come to kill and destroy, but I've come that you may have life abundantly. And you can go through these trials of life that everybody's going to go through, knowing that you have hope, knowing that you have, that these things, these trials are going to produce perseverance, and perseverance is going to produce, God's word says, proven character. And this proven character is going to show people the hope of Jesus Christ, and that hope of eternal life will not disappoint us. And so, Father, I pray in Jesus' name, if there's anyone here, Lord God, even if there's one person here, maybe they've been coming for a while, or maybe this is first time, and they're like, what? This guy, I'm an enemy of God unless I receive. Yes, but God's willing to receive you. He loves you. Just admit to Him right now that you're a sinner, and that you're in need of a Savior, that you're not good enough to go to heaven, that you need Him, and ask Him to come into your heart and life, and to help you to live no longer for yourself or what your will is, but what His will is. I pray in Jesus' name that that person would do that here today. And Lord, for those who do know you, and maybe they've been fighting, thinking that you're just always mad at them and hate them, Lord, I pray that they would throw that away. How much more, if you died for ungodly people, how much more, Lord, does your love demonstrate to us now that we're sons and daughters of yours, Lord? I pray that you would help each person settle your love once and for all. That every time that they, maybe they honestly don't feel like you love them, or in this situation, or they don't understand why the trial's going on, they can trust you knowing that you love them this much. That it's either going to be for their benefit or for the benefit of someone else down the road. So that you, Father God, will get the glory. Would you help them to trust you, Lord God? Knowing that you're going to produce good things from this. Help us not to run from the trials, but to say, God, what are you doing in and through them? How can I glorify you? How can you make something beautiful in me, something useful in me through this trial, Lord? And let you have your way with us. Help us to praise you, Lord, in your Philippians. Let your praise, our praise always be in the Philippians. We love you and we bless you and we thank you. And I ask that you do a supernatural work, impart something here today to each person here. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. And amen. Love you guys. God bless you. Have an awesome, awesome week in Jesus Christ's name.